Mark 6, verse 45, the Bible says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. He saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, and walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the stirring in my soul tonight. Lord, in testimonies about revival and reminiscing about when you moved in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. And Lord, I witnessed you, God, changing lives, literally. And Lord, I'm one of them, Lord, that I saw and am seeing you change. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, God, for allowing me to be a follower of Jesus for these past 37 years. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Lord, I thank you. Lord, what January 20th means and what it represents. The ending of an old life, serving the old master, and beginning a new life, receiving a new life, living that life, serving a new master on the straight and the narrow path. Thank you for that. Thank you for calling me to preach the Word of God. I pray your will be done in the service tonight. Bring to my attention, Lord, everything that I need to see and say. And I'll give you praise. Give us liberty tonight. We need liberty in the Spirit of God. Lord, I am not interested in just going through a mechanical service. Lord, I'm interested, Lord, in reality of enjoying you, experiencing you, hearing from you. May the Word of God deal with us, speak to us, challenge us. And Lord, what you do for us, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. We were preaching this morning in this scripture, or attempting to, and we focus our attention in verse number 48, and he saw them, that is Christ, saw them toiling and rowing, and for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night, the fourth watch of the night is from 3 to 6 in the morning, the fourth watch of the night. And verse 47, it was evening time when they got in the ship, between 3 and 6 p.m. And so they had been fighting with this storm, rowing, giving it everything they had for approximately 9 hours. And they'd only went between 2.5 to a little over 3 miles, according to John's gospel of 25 to 30 furlongs. And you can go in and do your research on that, of how far that is, what distance that represents. But anyway, we talked about that this morning, how that they were struggling with a headwind. The Bible said the wind was contrary. That is, they were trying to go forward, and the wind they were fighting and facing was a contrary wind. In other words, it was right the opposite. It was trying to force them backwards when they were trying to go forward. Have you ever felt like that? If not, you will in life. If you try to do anything for the Lord, there's going to be a pressure. There's going to be opposition. against you. There's going to be an opposing force. You're going to have to push your way through. You're going to have to push your way through if you're going to ever do anything for the Lord. You can't expect to be a comfortable, casual Christian and really accomplish much for the Lord. You're going to have to put your hands to the plow and not look back. Put your hands, in our text, on the oars and don't let go. And do what you know you can do. Give it all you've got. You'll never convince me that in the setting here of this, of what's taking place, that these people, that they was rowing. I believe they was giving it everything that they had. I don't believe that they were sparing no energy. I don't believe they were sparing no effort. And I thought about that today even. Where would this church be? Where would I be if I would have already had 37 years up to yesterday, 37 years of full force service? I don't have that. Sad to say, there's been slothful times in my Christian life. There's been wasted time in my Christian life. And I don't see any halos in here, so I'm sure you're guilty as well. But where would you be? Where would I be? Where would this church be? We've been here 25 years. What would this church be for the Lord if it was full from the pulpit through the pews with 100% Christians? 100%. That is, give it all you've got every day. Give everything you got, all your strength, all your energy, all of your efforts to do the will of God, be obedient to the Lord. Amen. When they got in that ship, Jesus told them in verse number 45 to get in the ship. He constrained them. He constrained them, his disciples, to get in the ship. He constrained them to get in the ship and to go to the other side. You know why they were rowing with such intensity? You know why they were rowing with such intensity? They felt as though them arriving at the other side was up to them. And we're not talking about at this point in the message about heaven. We're talking about just going from a departure point to a destiny point. Going where God said to go. Go in the direction God said to go. Reach the destinies that God says He's appointed in your life. And buddy, they was giving it all they had. They was rowing, sweating. Amen. I mean, no doubt tired, fatigued. And we know that by the definition of the word toiling. Tortured, stressed, vexed. Amen. I mean, listen, wore out. It was wearing them out. But they'd rather die trying than to give up and go back in a rearward direction, a reversal direction. Amen. They were giving it all. Listen, my salvation now, and I don't have time to defend this, but my salvation tonight is not attached to my responsibility. I'm not going to heaven because I pray a certain amount. I'm not going to heaven because things like that. Or I go to church, or, you know, I go to church because Jesus said that's His will. God's Word is the will of God. Amen. God's Word is the will of God. And I know that's a simple statement, but I believe a lot of people don't look at it that way. If Jesus says it, God's Word says it, listen, there's nothing to pray about. When God's Word says it, that means do it. Amen. That's right. You talking about getting in trouble? It's when God says plainly and clearly to do something and you take that matter into your own hands and say, well, I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. You talking about getting in trouble, and that's a whole other direction of thought. But they were toiling and they were rowing. And I believe they were at the point, and we dealt this morning about the distance that they traveled in two. I broke it down. I just kept breaking it down, and I meant to bring that piece of paper where you could see it if you wanted to look at it. But they went actually 29.33 feet in 2 minutes. 30 feet is 10 yards. How long is that moving slow to go 10 yards in 2 minutes? That's barely moving. I mean, that's almost not moving, nearly. Amen? Go 5 yards, half that even, instead of going 10 yards in 29.33 minutes, or 2 minutes rather, excuse me. Go 5 yards, which is about from the wall to here in a minute. That's almost not moving. But they were toiling. They were giving everything they had to try to make it. Now keep in mind, it's dark. It's dark. Keep in mind also, it's disturbed. There was waves beating against the ship. It was up and down and thrashing back and forth. But they did not give up. They kept rowing with everything that was within them. Amen. But you know good and well, because they couldn't see and they couldn't feel where they were. And it probably felt at times with all of that up and down motion, am I even advancing? Are we going backwards? Are we going forwards? And they may have felt like they were stuck in the midst of their struggle. And that's what I've been trying to preach on. But I want to skip down and I want to deal with this tonight. Here's what it all comes down to. Here's what it all comes down to of how you're going to act when you feel stuck. What is your reaction going to be when you feel stuck? It comes down to this. What do you know? What do you know? And the first thing I want to deal with is, what do you know about the Savior? I believe a lot of people lays their oar down because they don't know some things. Jesus does some things that it throws them off. They think, "What? Why did he do that?" I want to tell you, you'll never be able to understand Christ. Amen. You'll never be able to figure him out. His ways are higher than our ways, as much as the heavens are above the earth. You'll never be able to put him in your little box. Amen. He's going to do things that you're going to scratch your head over. Amen. But if you'll know that ahead of time and quit trying to predict Christ, that you'll be ahead of the game. Here's what we can learn about the Savior. Don't you think it'd be good if we know something about the Savior before we go into a storm or when we feel stuck? Here's some of the things that I want to point out. Number one, this passage shows me that he is the deciding Savior. It was Christ who made the decision for this whole setting. That right there, don't you think that would help you when you're entering a storm and a struggle time and you feel stuck and you don't know if you're going forward and you don't know if you're going backwards? Listen, is Christ occupying that position in your life of making the decisions? It was Christ that constrained them to get in the ship. It was Christ that made the decision for them to go to the other side. Amen. And listen, you can write this down. He didn't just choose the path, he chose the problem. That storm that came upon them, that wasn't an accident. No, sir, Jesus was trying to use that struggle time to surface their immaturity and surface their weakness and surface their insufficiency. Amen. Would that not help us? Come on now. Would that not help us when we go into a struggle time and we don't know where we're going or coming? Amen. Would that not help us to know that Christ is the one that made the decisions? And if he made the decisions, he knows what's going on. Oh my goodness. The problem is, a lot of people today in modern day Christianity won't let Jesus be the deciding Savior. I believe revival can be had, and this is a whole other message, but in John chapter 2, when they run out of wine, one word there helps us to see the remedy and the recipe for revival. When Mary said to those people, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Whatever decisions he makes, whatever choices he expresses to you and I, let's do it. And I'll tell you, that'll bring revival, would it not? But most people have got Jesus, they've got a lot of this, tape like they put on at a crime scene. You know, don't do not trespass or don't go cross or whatever. A lot of people's got that up in their lives. They've got this up. Lord, stay out of this room. Lord, stay out of this area. Lord, you can tell me what you want in this area, but not in that area. I want to tell you, that's why that churches today are drying up, and that's why churches are departing from the faith and departing from biblical fundamentalism and going liberalism. That's because we've lost the power of God, because we've only allowed Jesus to be the deciding Savior in certain areas. Last time I checked, when you got saved, you lost ownership of your life. That's right. You're bought with a price. Be ye not servants of men. Jesus paid for us. He owns us. Your body's not yours. Your body belongs to the Lord. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And since it belongs to Him, you are to get permission from Him. You are to get approval from Him on how you dress that body and things you do with that body and places you go with that body. That's right. I don't think there's a thing wrong. Before you go out in public, any of us, before you go out in public, is to ask the Lord, Lord, am I presentable? Lord, are you pleased? As my owner, are you pleased with how I'm going out in public? Now, don't ask that if you don't want Him to tell you, because He probably will. Amen? And if you're in question, I might can help Him out a little bit. But I can't bog in on each one of these. I've got too far to go. But He is seen in this passage as the deciding Savior. Oh my goodness, isn't there freedom there? Isn't there freedom in that, Brother Travis? You say, what are you talking about, freedom? I tell you what, when I was lost, I was making the decisions, and that's why I was constantly in the ditch. That's why I was constantly making turns down dead-end roads. I want to tell you, it was a blessed day in my life when I said, Lord, you are my master, you're my Savior, you make the decisions, you call the shots. And I want to tell you what, I can ride and rest and follow and allow Him to decide. Amen. Amen. I was thinking while Brother Mike was testifying, I was trying to count it up on my fingers, amen. I thought I was going to take my shoes off. But I found that I figured it out. 13 days after I got saved, I announced my call to preach. 13 days, Brother Ben, from the time I got saved, I knew the will of God for my life. Amen. And there's people been saved for years and 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 still don't know what God's will is for their life. Amen. But if I'd have got saved and I'd have went and followed the pattern of others sitting in the church as being just a part-time Christian and don't give God your all, just give Him parts and pieces, treat Him like an alley cat, I would have never known the will of God. And I'm telling you what, I jumped in with both feet. I dove into this thing. I didn't get in to get out. I didn't get on to get off. I didn't try. I dove in, sink or swim. I'm going with God. And I want to tell you, 13 days later, God done showed me what He wanted me to do. Amen. I've got to get off of that. But He's a deciding Savior as seen here. Amen. That's right. Number two, it's not going to get any better than that one on this one. He's a demanding Savior. The Bible said, and straightway He constrained His disciples to get in a ship. Now watch this. He didn't ask them, is it okay? Is that all right with you? Check your calendar. See if it's convenient. See if you can work this out. No, He just told them. Get in a ship. Yes, sir. Get in a ship. Amen. You say He don't have that right. Oh, easy. You better study your Bible before you make that statement. Well, it's my body. It's my life. It's my direction. I'll do what I want to. Not if you belong to the Savior. In fact, that attitude of I'll do what I want, when I want, where I want, don't answer nobody, nobody tell me nothing, that is the attitude of a lost person. You're wasting your breath, wasting your time to tell me that is a saved person. I don't believe a word of that. No, I don't believe a word of that. Brother, God gives you a heart for him when you get saved. But anyway, it's a demanding Savior. He commanded them, constrained them, put the pressure and the urgency on them. Get in the ship. And I mean get in the ship right now. Who does he think he is? I tell you who he is. He's the Son of the living God. He's the Savior of the world. He's your master. He's the one that paid your sin debt. Say amen right there. And our attitude ought to be, Lord, if you want it, you got it. Amen. That's exactly right, amen. Jesus' commands are always his best for us. It's always his best. Let me give you these two verses and I'm moving on. John 14 and verse 15 tells us very plainly that your attitude of obedience toward the commandments of God proves your love for him. You know what Jesus told his disciples in John 14 verse 15? If ye love me, keep my commandments. Amen. Well, I'm saved by grace, preacher. I don't keep the commandments. You listen. Surely you're not that ignorant. Are you listening? What about this verse? 1 John 5 and verse number 3. His commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not weighty. And the notion of that word grievous there indicates a downward direction. In other words, the commandments of God will never make you depressed. The commandments of God will never make you discouraged. The commandments of God will never push you down and weight you down. Amen, that's right. The commandments of God are not grievous. I'll tell you what's grieving most people is their rebellion against the commandments of God, their disobedience against the commands of God. Amen. I know we got some sick tonight, and I hate that. But I'm telling you what, I guarantee sure as I'm standing here, we got people just plain laid out of the house of God tonight. I guarantee that's right. Say amen right there. Yeah. Well, anyway, I don't want to get on that. We'll be rowing for it, won't we? But he's a deciding Savior. I'm talking about, listen, if we're going into a struggle time, what do you know about the Savior? Is he a deciding Savior? Is he a demanding Savior? Is he a directing Savior? It was him that called the directions. Amen? Where they were and where they needed to be was all of his decision. Lord, where do you want me? Lord, what do you want out of my life? He ought to be in charge of your career. He ought to be in charge of your companion. He ought to be in charge of, amen. He ought to be in control. Listen, he ought to be in charge of every area of your life. Every area. All of your finances should come under his authority. Amen. That's exactly right. A lot of people throw their spiritual life out the window over a $1.298 job. Never go to church. Why? Preacher, I got to work. Well, you can get on that and it'll quench your spirit quickly, won't it? Amen. I love the house of God. I've always made it, ever since I got saved, I made it a priority in my life, the house of God. Amen. That's right. And you do with that whatever you want to. Amen. But he's a directing Savior. He's a depart. Listen, here's one you better know in a struggle time. He's a departing Savior. You say, preacher, what do you mean? He told them to get in the ship to go the other side, and then he left them. When they're out there thrashing, they're out there going, you know, their life is on the line and they're rowing with everything they've got within them. Guess what? Jesus wasn't even on the ship with them. Jesus was up on the mountain praying. He's a departing Savior. There'll be times you'll look around and say, Lord, where are you? There'll be times when you're in a struggle zone and you feel like I ain't going to make it. I don't know if I'm coming or going. I don't know if I'm up or down. Amen. And you're giving it all you got. And guess what? It don't seem to be enough. And you look around and wonder, where in the world is he? But the point here the Lord showed me was there are times that you need his praying more than you need his presence. He was in the mountain. Y'all okay? Y'all all right? If I said something already, make you mad. Surely I haven't. If it's in the book, you ought to just line up and say, praise God. Amen. That's right. I ain't telling you how to live. I'm not trying to be the boss of your life. I'm depressed enough. Feel a little quit spirit here, amen. But anyway, there's times that he pulls away. But always remember this. The Lord showed me this. Though he departed, Brother Mike, from them, he was never detached from them. Because the Bible says, Brother Craig, when he was on the land, he saw them toiling and rowing. And we're talking about dark. Jesus doesn't need a flashlight. He doesn't need even the S-U-N to be able to see you. He's seen because he is God manifest in the flesh, and he saw them toiling and rowing. Wasn't that a blessing? Lord have mercy. It's amazing you can preach a whole message of truth and people get hung up on one thing. But he's a departing Savior. He departed for the purpose of praying. Who do you think he was praying for? What do you think he was praying about? Do you think he didn't know they were going into a storm? You don't think that he knew that arrangement was coming, that headwind was coming, that hardship was coming? You don't know that he knew that? Of course he knew that. Did he know that Peter was desired of the devil to be sifted as wheat? But you know what Jesus told Peter? Nevertheless, Peter, I pray that your faith fail not. Peter, I prayed for you. I know that the devil's after and he's going to sift you. There's a trial coming. Amen. And I want you to know, Peter, I've prayed for you. Hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus is a praying, interceding Savior for us. Amen. That's good. I like it myself. Anyway, let's move on. Amen. And a little bit later on, we'll discover that he is a drawing near Savior as well. He can get to you when it's time. He can get to you, amen? Storms and struggles cannot stop the Savior. Amen. That's right. He knows our limits, and when it is time for his approach or his entry. He knows how much you can stand. He knows your breaking point. Aren't you glad he does that? Somebody told me one time about the pottery. Said when they mold that vessel and they put it in that furnace to bake it, that there's a thermostat, and then right above the door there's just a little small glass hole. And that was for the purpose that potter can look through that glass and see those that are in the fire, and his other hand is on the thermostat. And he knows at what point that he needs to turn the heat down. He knows at what point when it's time to take us out of a fiery trial. Oh my goodness, I'm glad today that we can trust him. He is a drawing near Savior. He is a distinguished Savior. All through this whole passage right here, Jesus stands out. He wants to. He deserves to. I'd say he's standing out when he's walking on the water. He's standing out, don't you think? Don't you think he's standing out when he comes not only walking on the water, Brother Ivan, but when he comes, they've already been at it 9 hours. They had a 9-hour head start. He caught up with them and was going to pass them by. That either shows how fast he was moving or how slow they were going. But he caught up with them and would have passed them by. But they thought, man, look at this. This is amazing. But he is a distinguished Savior. Let's move on. Not only things that we need to know about the Savior will help us in a struggle time. There's times that he does things and we need to stay focused on those things. He's the one that's directing, demanding. When he's not around, it's not that he's forgot us. He's not detached from us. He's not leaving us to ourselves. He's praying for us. He's developing us and our dependence on the Lord. See, here's what happened. If Jesus had been with them presently, I mean physically and presently, they would have put their confidence in the visible presence of Christ. But when he pulls himself away into a mountain apart to pray and they couldn't see him, then they had to put their dependence on what Jesus said. Get in the ship and go to the other side. I want to tell you right now, right here's where Jesus wants your dependence to be. Jesus wants your dependence to be upon the Word of God. That's right. Amen. All right, number two, not only things we need to know about the Savior, but things we need to know about self. You need to learn some things about yourself. And I'm just going to mention a couple. One, we need to learn that self is forgetful. Where do you get that? Verse 52. For they consider not the miracle of the loaves. Jesus said, you know why? That y'all got in this, you were in this storm and you were toiling and rowing and you were giving it everything you got to try to make it, try to maintain your position. He said the reason for all of this and plus the reason you didn't recognize me when I come walking on the water, you thought I was a spirit, amen, and you were troubled. The reason for that is you forgot. You forgot. Now, wait a minute now. He said, you forgot, you didn't consider the miracle of the loaves. You know when that happened? You know when that happened? The day before. The day before, Brother Fultz, the day before, let's just say yesterday. Yesterday, they had experienced one of the greatest miraculous miracles that's recorded in the New Testament. The feeding of the 5,000 with two loaves or two fishes and five loaves. And had 12 baskets left over. Jesus got so carried away, he didn't just fill them all up. He filled up 12 baskets afterwards. He liked it. He liked it. 24 hours, the next day, these disciples are now in a storm. They're falling all to pieces. And Jesus tells them, Brother Craig, why? You forgot. You considered not the miracle of the loaves. Are we not just like that? Oh, I know what some of you are thinking, and it'd be normal for me to think that as well. Well, I tell you right now, if I'd have saw that miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 plus women and children, could have been as many as 15 to 20 plus thousand people there, and Jesus took a little lad's lunch, it wasn't even enough for him to eat, amen, and fed them all and had 12 baskets left over. Oh, if I'd have saw that, I would have never doubted God. If I'd have saw that, I'd have been on the top of everything all the rest of my life. Yeah, right. Look at what God's already done in your life. You can't get a bigger miracle than salvation. You can't get no bigger than that. That's the most impossible thing that's ever been, is for you to get saved any other way other than through Jesus Christ. It's impossible, amen? Have we forgot? Have we forgot past blessings? Have we forgot God's demonstration of power in days past? Have we forgot those services in past times that we thought we never would forget? I think it would. I didn't do it. I wished I had it. I was told to do it. I was asked to do it, but I never did do it. I wished I could go back and start over and keep a journal of my Christian life. Those services, those things that I saw God do, I thought I'd never forget those things. I said, there's no way that I'll ever forget that. And today I can't recall them to save my life. But if I'd had me a little journal, Brother Matt, I could just... Even if it wasn't really fully detailed, but just enough to jog my memory, I probably could recall those things. Amen. Keep a record. Just write down. Journal some things. Journal your prayer. Answers to prayer. Journal some special services that God done something supernatural. Amen. You don't want to forget those things. Why? Because storms are coming. Struggles are coming, and it would be good if these men right here, what if they were in there and they were toiling and they were rowing? What if one would have looked over and said, hey, fellas, hey, don't lose heart. Don't get faint over there. Don't get wore out. Don't give up. Why? Just think yesterday, look what we saw Jesus do, and he's the one that told us to get in this thing. Hey, he's not going to let us drown. He's not going to let us bottom out. He's not going to let us go under. But they never even recalled the miracle of the loaves. One thing you better learn about self is forgetful. God can do big things in your life. If you're not careful, you'll forget about it. storm will come and troubles come in your heart, in your life, and you could draw strength from those hard times, those times that God intervened, those times that God answered prayer, those times that God helped, but you forget them and you fall apart. I've done it. We've all done it. He goes on to say in verse 52, he said, it's because you considered not the miracle of the loaves. He said, you're forgetful. But he also said, you're fleshly. He said, your heart is hard. He said, the reason that you forgot about the loaves is the condition your heart's in. Do you see that connection? Do you see that connection between the heart and the head? Considering not the miracle of the loaves would be something of the mind, giving attention to. You're not giving attention to. You didn't pay attention to what God did feeding the 5,000 plus. You didn't pay attention. That's your mind. Your attention is a mind factor. But then he said the reason you didn't even pay attention is because your heart's hard. Boy, the devil targets that heart, don't he? If he can get you hard-hearted, your heart speaks of your affection. Your head speaks of attention. If he can get your affection and harden your heart, amen, I want to tell you, you'll not think spiritual things in the time of struggle. You'll think thoughts like this: I'm going to quit. That ain't spiritual. There's nothing spiritual about that. Fleshly, amen. Struggles largely came from dealing with struggles in their own ability. Their own ability. Struggles teach us our insufficiency. That's what a storm does sometimes. God allows providentially a storm to come in our life to teach us we are weak, too weak. We are weak. Our insufficiency. But the same storm that teaches me my insufficiency is the same storm that will teach me of His sufficiency. That's right. Struggles teach me to depend on the Lord and be determined to follow the Lord. Let me move on. Number three, quickly. I got to hurry. Number three, not only things we need to know about the Savior will help us when we feel stuck in a struggle. Things we need to know about self have no confidence in the flesh. Things we need to know about self in a time of struggle. Thirdly, things we need to know about struggles. Amen. If you take and look at this passage of Scripture and you say, all right, the Lord's the one that decided it, directed it, He's the one that led in it, then this storm evidently is a part of that plan. Would that not help us to go into a storm, a struggle time with that in mind? But that ain't the way we look at it, is it? Come on now, I know what you think. We're all the same. When a struggle time comes, oh, this is the devil. God ain't in that. This is not of God. Well, it may be. If God's trying to teach us a lesson, if God's trying to surface that we're not depending on Him and that our heart is hardened and that we're having doubt problems, He'll let a storm come. One thing I believe we can learn about struggles is they're temporary. It may look permanent, it may look like forever, and it may look like it's going to be final. But I want to tell you what, the sun will shine again. All of us have been in times and been in situations that we thought, this is going to be the end of me. I am not going to make it. Well, look at you. You're here tonight. Devil lied to you, didn't he? You're still here. Thank God, tell your struggles. It's tough right now, it's hard right now, but it's not permanent. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? Vance Havner said it's not in the sharp trials that we're in danger of fainting. It's in the long trials that we're in danger of fainting. So you can learn several things about struggles. That's the time you need to depend on God's word. Amen. That's exactly right. Jesus said for us to be here. Jesus said for us to be going in this direction. Jesus said for us to be in this ship. We're doing what God said. And so we're going to leave the storm to end with Him. We're going to trust Him with it. Anyway, there's a fourth thing that we can learn some things about, and that's the shore. Praise God. I'm glad the storm is not ashore. Y'all didn't get that. I didn't figure you did. The storm is not the shore. The shore is the destiny. The storm is not the destiny. It's just a process of development. You know what one thing the storm does? The storm makes you appreciate the shore. Amen. Amen. Makes you appreciate the shore. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. We're headed to the other shore. And the storm should make you homesick. The storm, the struggle should make you envy and oh, I can't wait till the day that I'm out of this storm. That's right. The storm is not the shore, nor is it the destiny. Amen. The storm and struggles makes thoughts of the shore sweeter. Amen. They no doubt were exhausted, tired, and weary, but they knew they could find rest once they landed. Hallelujah. They launched in verse number 40. They launched in verse 47, and guess what? They landed as well. Sure as there's a launch, there's going to be a landing. Here's one thing that stuck out to me, and listen, it's worth repeating, worth saying. Four men on board that ship, Andrew, Peter, Philip, and John, that was their home they were headed to. They were from there. That's where their home was. You know what they could have said, Brother Frank, is they were toiling and rowing. We're headed home. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. We're headed to the house. Amen. Used to, you could preach about heaven and it'd be a blessing. Preach about why we're going home. We're headed home, Brother Fultz. We're just going through a storm. We're not living in a storm. We're just going through a storm. We're pilgrims passing through. We're headed to the house. And that would be a blessing, Brother Craig. But not now. You can preach about, I told you about Brother, well, I ain't going to call his name. I have to be careful now. But a preacher friend of mine in South Carolina told me, he said, I was preaching a series on heaven. I'm talking about series. I'm talking about several messages, consecutive messages on heaven. And he said, preacher, you know what? He said, I had to quit preaching on it. He said, I had to abandon the subject. He said, my church was drying up. You know why? People ain't interested in heaven. They're not a bit more. Listen, people used to get happy thinking about it. Praise God, I'm passing through this land. I'm headed for home. I'm headed for heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Praise God. We'd shout and amen, worship over that. But you can preach on heaven now till you pass out. And people will yawn and go to sleep. You know why? We like it here too much to get excited about there. People's got their tent stakes drove down way too deep. And when you preach about the coming of the Lord and you preach about heaven, it's almost like people don't want to hear that. I'm going to tell you, if that's the case, we're in bad shape. We're in bad shape if we love this stinking world with all of its heartache and trouble to the point that we can't get excited about the fact one day there's going to be a mass exodus out of this world. Amen. Well, this was the point that I was looking forward to preaching, but it's about dried up, I think. That's pitiful, ain't it? Amen. The shore, we learned that it was determined. Before the day they got in the ship, the shore was determined. That right there ought to help you. That right there ought to bless you. The shore wasn't an afterthought. The day they got in the ship, the destiny was already determined. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm glad of that. That helps me sleep at night. I don't even have to take a baby aspirin. I know me making it. It's not me swimming for it. It's not even up to me paddling for it. Thank God my destiny's already made it. It's already finalized. Not only is it determined, the destiny or the shore is determined, but it's definite. It's not an if, maybe, or might be. It's a definite thing. It's delightful in that it's the it's home. Let me show you this right here. Listen to this. What's happening tonight is you're getting done before I am. John chapter number 6, the same identical story, same identical setting. Look what it says here, and this comes right out of the feeding of the 5,000, same identical passage. And it comes down to verse 16, and when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, entered into a ship, and went over, look at this, toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, that's where I got that distance at, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Now this is the same story in Matthew's gospel where Peter was walked on the water. Peter was at, you know, if it be you, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come, you know all that. And he started sinking and all that. Verse number 21. Then they willingly received him into the ship. And look at this next statement. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. They had done all of that toiling and rowing, Brother Carroll, and may have gotten so focused on the toiling part and the struggle part that they forgot about the shore part. And they was rowing, giving it all they had. Watch this, boy. If this don't bless you, I don't know what, I don't have nothing else to tell you. But they was giving it all they got, and it was dark, Brother Ivan, fourth watch of the night. Done rowed between 2.5 to 3 miles constantly with the opposition of a headwind. Here comes Jesus walking. They thought it was a spirit. He went to walk on by, and that's when Peter began to communicate with him, if it be thou, bid me to come on thee on the water, and all that story. And then after Jesus rescued Peter, when he cried, Lord, save me, he reached him up, and then hand in hand, they went back. They went into the ship. Guess what the next thing said after they went into the ship? They were at the land where they went. Whew. One little side note right there. Peter was out there sinking that close to the shore. Y'all didn't get that either, did you? Peter was sinking real close to the shore because when Jesus and Peter got back in the ship, they were at the shore. They were at the destiny where they went, whether they were going to go. You have to be careful, friend. You have to be careful you don't start sinking real close to the coming of the Lord. But when Jesus got back on inboard the ship, no more indication of the wind, no more indication of the waves, but their arrival at destiny. Say, preach, how you know we're going to make it? One, before we ever got in the ship, God said we're going to make it. God put an unstoppable, unchangeable, unalterable decree on us that we're going to the other side. But if that's not good enough, here's another reason I know we're going to make it. There's going to come a point, Sister June, that the Savior is going to come out and meet the ship that's been in a storm. And when he comes out to meet the ship, the storms are over, the wind stops blowing, and we arrive safely at the shore of destiny. Boy, I like that. I do. I had about 4 songs I was going to sing. I really was. I was going to sing a little bit of Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. Joyously singing, harp bells all ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? You know they probably thought that as they were journeying. We're heading home, boys. Keep paddling, keep rowing. We're headed to the house. Won't it be wonderful there? Now, I'm not going to sing that. I was going to sing a little bit of another song called An Unclouded Day. Oh, they tell me of a land far beyond, a home far beyond the skies. No storm clouds arise. I was going to sing a little bit. We're not home yet, children. Keep your eyes on the Savior. I'm just going to have to leave it with you now. Amen. I don't feel like singing now. Amen. That's right. Stuck in a struggle. Be careful how you respond to that. If you respond fleshly, if you respond physically, naturally, you'll probably lay your oar down. You'll probably give in to the fatigue and the tiredness and the pain and all that goes with the struggle. You'll give in to that. But I tell you what, you'll be sad that you did that when Jesus climbs aboard the ship to welcome us home. You'll be sad and sorrowful that you quit on God. What if they'd have quit thinking, we hadn't went anywhere, we've not done anything, I don't know where we are, but we've just been rowing frantically. We've been toiling and rowing, not even aware of the fact that they was real close to the shore. I believe we're real close. I believe we're getting closer by the minute to the coming of the Lord. Don't quit, children. Don't quit, church. We're almost home. Hey, we're almost at the house. This thing's about over. Storms are not permanent. There's going to be a day the wind's going to cease and the waves are going to lay down and we're going to be home. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, your will be done in the service tonight. Help me, dear Lord, in these days when we at times feel like we're toiling and rowing, when it seems like we're stuck in that position between forward and reverse, and it seems like that it's hard to detect, it's hard to discern whether I'm going forward or backwards. With all of the darkness, with all of the disturbance, with all of the opposition and all that's going on in the storm, we better remember the word. We better remember the word that was given. We better stay engaged with our responsibility. Stay in unity with others on board the ship that are rowing also. We're in this thing together. We're headed in the same direction. May, Lord, you help us to do our part. Help me, Lord, to give it all I have. What days I have left, what years I have left, all of that, I have no idea. But I pray you'll help me, Lord, to let my light shine and Lord, help me to make a mark for your glory. Lord, I don't know all that of your future plans for me. I don't know all that you want me to do. But right now, my hand is on the oar and you're telling me to row. You're telling me to row. Just keep rowing. Our arrival is up to you. It's in your hands. But help me to be faithful in my areas of responsibility of what you'd have me to do as your child. Lord, I don't know in the service who you may have spoken to, who that you may have dealt with. I don't know, but I'm asking, Lord, you help us tonight in a time of struggle, that we will focus our attention on the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for your praying for me, being my intercessor, being my advocate, my go-between. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being my mediator. I appreciate it. Many times we've made it through the storm, not because of our paddling, But because you have been praying, you pray, you still pray, you make intercession for us, you ever live to make intercession for us. Romans 8, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. And I thank you for that. Lord, have your will in your way. Help us to learn these truths. Speak to us with it. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name.